Good morning, Cornerstone.
Good morning.
Hey, so good to have all of you with us this morning. What a powerful time of worship. And we're excited to continue in worship with you this morning as we dig into God's Word and teach a little bit. And I have my lovely assistant with me today. Okay, this is my wife, just so you don't think I'm flirting with another woman. But I am flirting with this one, to be clear. And so I'm Pastor Jason. This is Amy. If you don't know who we are, if you're checking us out online, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to connect with you further as a church. And so we're going to jump into the scripture this morning. We're going to teach the next few weeks over Psalm 23.
Yeah.
And you might have noticed a post that we had some a video for the kiddos. And so before we do that this morning, I want to remind you of our Cornerstone Connect number, 605-215-5150. If you've got any questions about anything that we say this morning or about our church, feel free to use that and just follow up and ask us a question. We would love to continue to connect with you. So take advantage of that this morning. But we've got a question that we want to ask everybody that's listening this
morning. Yeah, so if you're not new to Cornerstone, you know that we like to start every sermon with a question to kind of get you thinking. And so today's question is, if you could be any kind of animal, what kind of animal would you be? Go ahead and drop your answer in the comments, and we can enjoy seeing what you all say.
All right, we want to see them. And I know that's kind of a weird question maybe, but if you could be any animal, what would it be? Now, some of you in our church, I probably know what animal I think you would be, but it may not be your choice. But
what animal would you be?
What would I be? I've always been a fan of monkeys and apes. I don't know, maybe a chimpanzee, maybe a gorilla. I don't know. Do you have an animal that you would be?
When I was a little girl, I was into horses. I think a lot of little girls are into horses. So probably something along that line, or a cat. They seem to have a pretty good life.
9 of them, potentially. So a horse, of course, or a cat. All right. So, yeah, drop us your animal you'd be. We'd love to see that. We could get a kick out of that. But, you know, as I think about this question, what kind of animal would we be? I'm probably certain that people would default to picking an animal that would have certain qualities or characteristics, maybe a noble animal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What would you think?
Something that really speaks to who you are as an individual. Maybe if you fancy yourself brave, you'd be a lion. If you fancy yourself fun, you'd be a monkey. But I don't think many of us would pick the animal that the Lord compares us to often in Scripture.
No, because I think we would pick something at the top of the food chain. I don't think a lot of you are dropping us a line, whichever corner is, that that we're, you know, hey, I want to be an earthworm. That would be my dream, okay? And so we're going to read the 23rd Psalm. This is familiar for many of you, but we're going to read this. We're going to dig in. We're going to spend the next 3 to 4 weeks going through this passage and just teaching together. And so I'm going to ask Amy to read through this passage, but let's pray before we go any further. Just pray that God would have his way this morning, that as we try to teach his word, that he would speak through us, that we would say what he wants us to say, and that also that you would hear and receive what you need to receive this morning. So I'm going to pray, then Amy's going to read this passage for us to get us started. Lord, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for all of Cornerstone Church that is watching, that is involved this morning, even though we can't be together. We thank you that you are with us, Lord, that you live in us as your sons and daughters that have been adopted into your family. God, I pray for anybody that's watching that's outside of the Cornerstone Church family, Lord, even if they're not a follower of Jesus, I thank you that they are watching, and I pray that they would learn something today, Lord. If they don't know you, I pray that you would just draw them closer to you today. Use your word here to encourage them. And those that are listening that love you, that follow you, God, I pray that you just help all of us to be more like you. And before this service is over, and just speak through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to read from the 23rd Psalm this morning, and this is from the English Standard Version. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Did you learn that as a kid?
I did.
Okay, that was one of the, mm-hmm. probably the first passages of scripture verses that, I believe my mom, whether it's my mom, if you're listening, take credit for it. I don't remember. Probably you, could have been Sunday school as a kid. Mm-hmm. But yeah, yeah, definitely learned that. Most likely the King James Version at that point, because I'm old a little bit. But that's fine. And very beautiful passage, very, very poetic.
Yeah.
And so raise your hands or give us some thumbs up if you learned that as a child. And so we're going to spend the next couple weeks looking at that together and diving into this. And we're not going to get past the first verse this morning because we want to look at this statement that King David is the one that wrote this. If you're not familiar with that, King David was really in many ways unlikely king. If you've heard the story of David and Goliath, this is who we're talking about. Later in his life, he would write this psalm and make this statement, "The Lord is my shepherd."
David knew what it was to be a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Before God called him to be a king of Israel, he had practiced tending sheep and fighting enemies among his father's sheep. And he learned what it means to care for sheep and to shepherd them and to guide them and to lead them through that experience. And it translated into this beautiful poem that he wrote in praise to the Lord.
And so, you know, unless you're probably from a different part of the country, this passage doesn't just immediately jump off the page with the same meaning that it would have meant to David in a personal way, because he was a shepherd. Even those who may raise sheep here in the U.S. in 2020, it looks much, much different than it did back then. And so as we go through this passage, I want us to try to see this from what his hearers or people reading this psalm thousands of years ago would have maybe understood inherently that we don't. But he begins with a statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so, Amy, what's important about shepherds? Why would this statement be important before he goes on and the rest of the passage that's so familiar to us, the things that he says? Why would this be important?
The Lord makes a point throughout Scripture that his people need a shepherd. He compares us very often to sheep. We are prone to wander away from the things that are good for us. We are prone to go our own way out of stubbornness. We are desperately in need of someone to lead us and guide us and take care of us. And so throughout the course of the people of Israel, after God called Abraham, who was also a shepherd, and created a nation for himself out of the descendants of Abraham, God begins to call people the shepherd over Israel. And so the first person he calls to do that is Moses. Moses was a leader of Israel for 40 years. He led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He led them through the Red Sea. He led them all the way up to the Promised Land. And of course, they rejected God's promise and had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And Joshua was ultimately the one who led them to receive that promise. But Moses shepherded God's people for 40 years. And he passed down the covenant of the law to them at Mount Sinai. But eventually, it became clear that God's people needed a king. And they needed a godly king. And so God called another shepherd, King David, who, like we said, wrote this psalm, to shepherd his people. And David led the people to victory over the Philistines. He brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem and made plans for the temple. But what we see throughout Scripture is that ultimately, these human shepherds, these leaders that God had called to be a part of guiding his people into following him, they were fallible. And so ultimately they failed.
Right. And think about it this way. The life or the quality of life that a sheep has greatly depends upon the shepherd, the character of the shepherd. Mm-hmm. And as you were talking, you're just thinking of the pattern of Israel, times of prosperity and then rebellion and then subjection. Mm-hmm. And Israel was familiar with shepherds that had good moments, that had bad moments, some that were not good at all, some that started off well, like King Saul in 2 Samuel. The Lord said, "You will be my shepherd for the people of Israel." And this wasn't their first shepherd, but it was their very first king. Mm-hmm. And he was ended up being a different kind of shepherd than even King David. And so we see this pattern through Scripture. A shepherd could be caring and loving and sacrificial towards the sheep, or he could be selfish, hard, or cruel. And you know, as you mentioned the fallibility of shepherds, you're talking about this pattern. I can't help but think about Ezekiel 34.
Sure.
And if you're not familiar with this passage, open up your Bible. We're not going to read all this passage, but I want you to go back and read it after you listen to this message. But this was a point in Israel's history where the Lord was really upset with those who should be shepherds, who should be leaders of Israel, of those who should be caretakers.
Yes.
And so this language of shepherds and sheep all the way through Israel from great men of God to just those that should be leaders here in Ezekiel 34, the Lord really starts to get on their case a little bit.
And this would have been many, many years after the time of King David. So King David had led them into a time of prosperity, but then after the reign of King Solomon, the kingdoms of Israel and Judah split into two kingdoms. And Israel especially, but also Judah, eventually fell into wickedness and idolatry. And the people who should have been their leaders, the kings and the priests and the prophets, who should have been leading the way and showing them how to live and showing them how to follow God, had failed in their duties.
Right. And in Ezekiel 34, it really, you talked about it, they failed Israel. Ezekiel 34, one of the verses I want to read is, this is part of verse 3, it says, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves." And this is an example of a selfish shepherd, someone who's not really taking care of the sheep, but they're putting their needs above the sheep. What can we get out of this flock? And says basically what they get from the flock, they spend on themselves. It condemns them for not strengthening the weak or healing the sick or binding up the injured. And you're not gone and look for the strays, or not gone and look for those that are lost. And here we see this condemnation of the leaders of Israel, those who should be shepherds. And so that sort of gives us new light when David makes a statement, "The Lord is my shepherd."
Yeah.
People then would have understood it. Even people in this time, the time that Ezekiel's writing, I can, you know, I can imagine them thinking of Psalm 23.
Yeah,
many would have been familiar with this and go, "Man, how great would it be for the Lord to be my shepherd?"
Yeah.
And I want us to look at, go to the end of the passage. If you've grabbed your Bibles, and if you haven't already written it down, if you've not already grabbed your Bible, look at Ezekiel 34. If you don't mind turning there, I'm gonna have Amy read a verse or two here, because this is very important as we understand what it means to be a shepherd. Shepherd is to be good, bad. These are condemned in Ezekiel 34 for being selfish. And you kind of already alluded to this earlier when you're talking about the pattern with the people of God, the leaders. I want you to read verses 10 and 11, if you can. This is towards the end of this passage where he's really condemning those who should be shepherds for Israel.
Yeah. So Ezekiel says in verse 10, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand to put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out."
Man, what a great passage. I believe that was the ESV, the NIV, the verse 11. It says, "I myself will search for the sheep and look after them." Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know if we don't understand what is said in Psalm 23, if we're just reading through Ezekiel 34, understand the pattern of shepherds and sheep, we're losing the power of how this passage here concludes. It says, he already condemned them earlier in this passage. Go back and look at it. Verse 4 said, "You've not gone and looked for the lost sheep. So what the Lord says is, because you shepherds haven't done that, I'm going to do it."
Yeah.
"You've neglected your duties. I'm going to do what you should have been doing all along." And he says, "I'm going to search for my sheep, and then I will look after him." What's he saying?
He's saying that he's going to be the shepherd.
He's going to be the shepherd.
He is the shepherd. And that's what's so powerful about what David is saying here too. And of course, David was writing long before this time of Ezekiel, when the priests had failed in their duties, but they would have been familiar even in David's time with what a bad shepherd looked like. There were good shepherds and bad shepherds.
Yes.
And even at that time, there had been already ups and downs in Israel's history through the times of the judges and through the reign of King Saul. And they knew what it was to have a bad shepherd over them. So for David to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," meant something to these people.
It meant something. The Lord is saying, "I'm going to be the shepherd you should have been."
Yeah.
Those that shepherded you or should have neglected their duties, but I'm not going to leave you permanently with a shepherd that would disqualify himself for being your shepherd. I'm going to come. I'm going to be shepherd, and I'm going to be your good shepherd. Mm-hmm. And that's the title of this series that we're going to be, the Good Shepherd. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to see how he takes care of this.
And we'll, as we get further into Psalm 23, we'll look further at what the qualities of a good shepherd are. But it also reminds me, you know, of how Jesus comes and he fulfills what God is saying here through King David in Psalm 23. If you move to John 10, Jesus makes some wild claims about himself as he puts himself next to the Father, because he says, "I am the good shepherd." And his audience would have heard that. and known this psalm and known that David said that the Lord is our shepherd. So when Jesus says to you, I am the good shepherd, he's saying, I'm the Lord.
Yeah.
And I want to be your shepherd.
That's verse 11 of John chapter 10. It says, I am the good shepherd. What a wild statement. And here's would have understood that. The religious leaders did not like that statement. It was even prophesied. You can read it in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. It says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Yeah. So even Jesus coming as our good shepherd, that was prophesied. That was predicted.
And what's interesting is David was a shepherd from Bethlehem too. And so Jesus fulfills what David couldn't be, and that he was just a man and he was imperfect. Jesus came as a shepherd from Bethlehem to be our good and true and perfect shepherd.
Right. And so let's jump into John 10 just a little bit here and look at the good shepherd. We told you in verse 11 that Jesus calls himself like, I am the good shepherd. But it also gives some examples here in John 10 of what it means to be a good shepherd versus somebody that was just kind of hired to take care of the sheep. I believe King James would call it a hireling, but just a hired hand, somebody that was more of an employee who didn't have a vested interest or the sheep's best interest at heart, whereas a shepherd would. That there's a picture painted here in Psalm 23, but also here in John 10, and of Jesus, the good shepherd, a good shepherd that loves the sheep and takes care of them. Is there anything in particular that jumps out of you in John chapter 10? You guys mark that down. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16 talks about Jesus being
that'd be a good shepherd. Way to follow up your study with what we're talking about here. But I particularly like, starting in verse 10, Jesus is talking about how sheep are vulnerable. Right. They're vulnerable to being stolen, to being attacked by wild animals, and so they need to be protected. That's one of the roles of the shepherd. And so Jesus says, starting in verse 10, he said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep.
That very much speaks to what Jesus would ultimately do for us and for his sheep. You were also, a few verses earlier, Jesus says that I am the gate for the sheep.
Yeah.
And you were doing some reading. Why don't you explain kind of what that imagery or what that would have meant?
On the one hand, you know, you have Jesus giving these two different images. He's saying, I'm the shepherd, but then he's also saying that I'm the gate. And in that would bother us today in ancient times if you use two metaphors for the same person. It wouldn't really have bothered them. But a lot of ancient scholars think that when he says that he's the shepherd and the gate, he's referring to the same thing. So a lot of times, if they didn't have a really well-built sheep pen, sometimes the shepherds would send their sheep into a cave. And then they themselves would lay down at the entrance to the cave to protect their sheep so that nothing could get past them and nothing could get in and harm the sheep. And so not only is Jesus saying he's the shepherd, but he's also the way in to the place of safety for the sheep. Mm-hmm. And he guards them against enemies.
And if you think ultimately what Jesus did upon the cross for us.
Yeah. He is the way for us into the place of safety, into the Father's presence, into reconciliation with God.
Right. And the enemy would have to get past him to get us. And he can't.
Yes.
If we're followers of Jesus, if we've been adopted into to the family of God, the enemy cannot.
If we are covered by the blood of Jesus, the enemy is not able to come in and steal and kill and destroy what God has secured for us, which is eternal life in Christ.
Right. And so as we begin to wrap up there, are there any kind of final thoughts on this thought of the Lord is my shepherd? And so, and I do want to encourage you, next time you read Psalm 23, don't just blow by that first part because there's so much meaning in it. And that really sets up the rest of the chapter. And the rest of the chapter really is describing the many ways that the Lord is our good shepherd.
Yeah.
And we're going to jump into that.
Yeah. So I think just one final thing that has stood out to me as I've been thinking and studying about Psalm 23 and this idea of the shepherd is that we are all ultimately accountable to the Lord, and he is the one who is to shepherd us. But we also have a role as under shepherds, under the Lord. In the book of 2 Peter, Peter talks about this idea that we're, or 1 Peter, I'm sorry, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talks about the idea that there's a chief shepherd, Christ, and that we're under shepherds serving under him. And that applies specifically to us as pastors as we think about the way that we shepherd our congregation here at Cornerstone. But also, It would apply to you in whatever sphere of influence that you have as you shepherd the people around you who maybe are not as far along in following the Lord as you are, that you're setting an example for, or maybe you're a parent and you're right. shepherding your children as you right. disciple them and lead them to follow the Lord. And so I think just I would encourage people to look to the Lord's example and follow in Jesus' footsteps as the chief shepherd, as we are also calling people alongside and behind us to follow after him.
That's good. That's good. And so as we begin to close, I want to remind you of the first question I asked you, what kind of animal would you be? You know, you probably didn't pick sheep. I think the only time maybe we use sheep is if we're decorating nurseries or whatever, because they're fluffy, cute, the little lamb.
Yeah.
You know, they're innocent. Mm-hmm. But we probably wouldn't pick a sheep to be, because we talked about it a little bit earlier, but sheep cannot take care of themselves. Mm-mm. That's why they need a shepherd. That's why they need taken care of. They require more attention, you know, than any other type of livestock. Really,
they're very dependent, which really wrangles us. We like to be independent, especially here in America and the West.
Well, and I think maybe that's why the Lord uses this this comparison of us being sheep and him, and those who should be, who are leaders as shepherds, because sheep are prone to mob mentality. Okay, and they're fearful as a group. They're stubborn as a group. Even as I was reading, like even somewhat stupid as a group. So please don't be offended. But we're all called sheep. So, but I think it really points to, you said, dependence. We are dependent upon our shepherd. Sheep are dependent upon a shepherd, and we don't like that. We hate that, really, because we want to do what we want to do, especially in America, where we talk about freedom, and we want to be free, we want to be independent. But if you're a follower of Jesus, or even if you're not a follower of Jesus, following him requires complete and utter dependence upon him. And so I don't think it's any mistake that we're called sheep. And that he is our shepherd, but he's a good shepherd.
Yeah.
Because we've got to trust him with everything. And even in Psalm 23, we're going to look at this and see how he takes care of us, how he provides for us. And just establish the fact that we can trust him because he is the ultimate shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And so as we wrap up here today, if you're a believer, I want to challenge you real quickly. We've got to be careful not to be too independent from the Lord. Because if that's really in our nature, that's something that we fight. We've got to be independent, do it on our own, do it on our own strength. And nothing in Scripture speaks to that way of living for a believer, for a follower of Jesus. It's all about, that's why we're called followers. That's why he said, follow me. He didn't say, walk beside me. He said, follow me.
Yeah.
I'm the leader. I'm the shepherd. Just like sheep, you've got to follow me. Mm-hmm. And so the call to follow Jesus, and we've talked about that a lot here, of course, it's a call to die.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but we go all in with Jesus, which means everything is his. And so for believers out there that are listening, I want to encourage you, we have a good shepherd.
Yeah.
And we can trust him, even when we don't understand, even when we don't make sense, we can trust him. And if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, listen, to enjoy a relationship with Jesus means we go all in with him and we follow him. Mm-hmm. It's not, we don't pick pieces of Christianity that we like and try to add it to our life. That's not how it works. You'll actually be more miserable if you do it that way than if you just reject him completely. Okay? But to enter into a relationship is to enter into a shepherd-sheep relationship where, man, we are the followers. He's our shepherd. And we go where he tells us to go. We do what he tells us to do. And that's where we really lay our life down, our independence that we crave and love so much.
Yeah.
And I want to read one last verse, Isaiah 53, verse 6. This is speaking of Jesus. He says, we all like sheep have gone astray. It's talking about us, people. Yeah. Each one of us has turned to our own way, like our independent streak.
Yeah.
Like sheep, we even if it's not good for us, we want to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. But it says, the Lord has laid on him. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. The Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And this speaks to what Jesus did upon the cross. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. But Jesus was upon the cross because he took our iniquity, which is our sin, which is our rebellion, which is our failures. He took that upon himself. And so here's a picture. You have the shepherd taking the consequences of the rebellious sheep upon himself. And that is what Jesus did for us. And that's why we can call him our good shepherd. And that's why I like David. With David, we can exclaim, the Lord is my shepherd. And so we can be excited about that. So if he's not your shepherd, if you're not following him, I pray that you draw closer to him. We'd love to talk with you. If you want to use our text number, we'll put it back up.
That Cornerstone Connect number, follow up with us and we'll connect with
Use
you
our
and make
online
sure
Connect
you know
card.
What it means to follow Jesus.
Yeah, we'll post that too. But we'd love to talk with you. We'd love to pray with you.
Yes.
And so I want to pray with you this morning, believer, unbeliever alike, no matter who. We want to pray for you that God will bless you and just continue to draw him closer to yourself. Amy, would you mind closing us in a time of prayer as we wrap up this morning?
Father, thank you so much that we can exclaim with David that the Lord is our shepherd. God, we know that you are loving and kind towards us, that you have not left us to our own devices in the ways that we've strayed in our own stubbornness and independence, but instead you sent Jesus, not just to lead us out of our sin, but to suffer the consequences of our sin and then raise to life again so that we could experience eternal life with you. And as it says at the end of Psalm 23, that we have the promise to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yes.
God, we pray right now for every member of Cornerstone and even those who are not part of Cornerstone but are watching this message this morning. God, I pray that you would draw near to them. Your word says that if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us, God. And we know that as our good shepherd, that's what you long for. You long to chase after us as your sheep and bring us back into the fold. So I pray that you would do that for every person that's watching this morning. God, that you would draw us all closer to yourself. And I pray for anyone that's watching that doesn't know the peace and comfort and joy that we can find in having you as our shepherd. God, I pray that you would open their eyes and open their hearts to receive the love of Jesus, to turn away from their sin and to follow the voice of the shepherd. We thank you so much for the ways that you're always leading us. We pray that you would be with us the remainder of this week and that you would continue to show your mercy on us during this time. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.